You're going to have a great weekend with a very good bourbon.
Oh,
shit. You monsters. You know what? That was smart. That was a good choice. That was a good choice. Hey, everyone. I'm Molly Wood. Welcome back to Make Me Smart, the show where not a damn thing makes any sense at all.
Not a damn thing makes any sense. That choking sound you hear is either me or my dogs. I don't, Happy Hour Friday. A tad less happy today for reasons which will become clear post-haste, if it's not already. Molly's last Friday, last Economics on Tap. Not her last day on this pod, though. We'll get to the calendar later. Live stream's up, Discord's up. Thanks to everybody joining wherever you are finding us, whether it's on the pod or YouTube or later, or I don't even know how you might get this. But yeah, okay. All right. Okay.
There are some amazing drinks showing up in the Discord, which is lovely to see. Oh, everyone's so great. Yes, I am I brought... Today is also the day in which we play the game half full, half empty. We talk about what we're drinking. There's been a little bit of a drink disaster, but just please know, because I need the credit. I sent Kai a really good bottle of bourbon, which hopefully is going to be found. It's going to be found. I did not, however, get myself a really nice bottle of bourbon. I just brought up my Costco-sized bottle of Maker's Mark because it felt like a really appropriate thing to do.
Well, and that in a straw.
I was like, oh, I should have told you. This is my fault. I should have told you.
No, because then surprise.
Surprises don't work in the modern age.
They don't, because you get surprised, and I don't even know. God, look, even the dogs are sad. Jesus.
Oh, nobody be sad. Nobody be sad. Look, everyone, we still have each other. Everything's great. We have the internet. We could hang out anytime. Yeah.
That's right.
Everything's good.
Okay. So you got your Makers. I got my, this is actually kind of appropriate. I got my Stone FML, which stands for something I can't say on this podcast. It kind of worked out, didn't it?
It kind of did, actually.
It kind of did.
It's like, I got another, awesome,
I got another five
right
of
there.
Its friends in the fridge. And so, you know, if it gets really grim around here, which may, I don't know, it may.
Oh, my God. That's actually really beautiful. That's poetry. That's poetry in beer form.
That's such a good beer.
I poured myself a really big
pour. All right, let's do a little news, and then let's get on with the day, shall we?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God.
I only want to talk about...
Okay. You only want to talk about what? Ooh, how's that going for you? How you doing?
Yep. Woo. Really pretty.
Oh, my God. What's really great is the YouTube is on a delay, and so I just looked down and saw you just having a little tough time with that sip.
Ooh. That was a pretty...
Oh, my goodness. Sip.
Wow. Just going to let the ice melt in that a little bit. Turns out I am a tequila girl after all.
Where were we?
The Constitution.
We're the Constitution Dow, as we were told. So we did this all. If you listen to the pod yesterday, we tuned into the Sotheby's auction at the end of it, and we did the Banksy auction, which was kind of cool. And really, the whole thing was just so banana pants. It was everybody in that Sotheby's room looked exactly like you would think somebody in a Sotheby's room would look, down to the watch and the jewelry and their haircuts, and people on the phone spending like millions of dollars without even really thinking about it. It was cray cray. And then we went away because the podcast ended. So many dollars. And then the Constitution came up, which we talked about yesterday, and the whole crypto thing with Constitution Dow and Ether. And Molly, God bless her, realized that the auctioneer, in addition to quoting in dollars in the Banksy auction, was quoting in Ether, too, which was crazy because I was confused as hell as how he was getting from $6.6 million at this $1,742. And I'm like, what? Anyway, Molly figured that out. But so they got to the copy of the Constitution, one of 13 in existence, the original printed copies for the members, and going from private hands now to an auction. And it's just amazing to me that it got the attention it got. And so this crypto group got together and tried to do it and all of this jazz. Anyway, so it goes to a private hedge fund guy. It doesn't go to Constitution Dow. It goes to Ken Griffin, the CEO of Citadel. Now, why is Ken Griffin, the CEO of Citadel, so interesting in this whole thing? because he was wrapped up in the whole meme stock thing.
Totally.
With GameStop and Robinhood. And
so
oh my
happy.
God. Oh my
yeah,
God.
Because his firm lost billions of dollars that they've almost certainly
yes.
made back by now, but at some point was so caught up and had to bail out Marvin Securities when everybody was shorting the crap out of GameStop. Like, this is 100% a crypto revenge play.
Listen to
it's
that.
So...
Thunderdome.
Are you ready to rumble? It is.
Oh my God.
Amazing.
Yeah.
When
yeah,
I saw that today, like, my jaw just dropped. I am so glad that you got to the rundown first and put it in here, because I was like, you got to be kidding me, the Citadel
guy. I was there at 8 o'clock this morning. I was like, Molly is not beating me to this one. I want this one. Yeah.
Oh.
Oh, yeah.
It's incredible.
It's
billions of
it's
dollars.
So
he was just
wild.
Like, nope.
Yeah.
No Redditors.
Yeah.
No Wall Street bets nerds. Like, I am made of money. Like, you know that he was going to go all night. And even that whole thing where I don't know how many of you watching this watched that auction last night, but it was super exciting.
It was so cool.
And dishy.
It was great.
And Brooke, who was bidding on bet, it turned out, because the whole night I was just like, are we Brooke or David? Like, which one are – and Brooke, it turns out, was bidding on behalf of the Citadel guy. And I now think – because she was sort of like – laughing, and she put her hand out, and there was like lots of drama. And I now think that there was no drama whatsoever. That in fact, Ken was on the other end of the line being like, just let him suffer a little bit, just let him. They're so close. Because she's the one who also took it immediately to 30 million. Like, it when you put it in the context of the revenge play, the whole bidding process makes so much sense. And it makes so much sense why they seem to be having this really animated conversation on the phone, because he was like, let the kids suffer.
Yeah,
I
fair.
Think. I'm making this
fair.
Up, but like, right?
Don't no, you but think? It's great, right? There's a movie in here somewhere.
So
there's
good.
A movie in here somewhere. But if honestly, if all y'all have never watched one of these auctions, just do it for 10 minutes. Do it for it's crazy.
Great TV.
It's great. Millions of dollars. Millions of dollars by people on the phone. You know?
I love
these
to
are
watch
probably
them.
People, by the way.
Yeah.
Sorry. These are probably people, these people who are like the Sotheby's, you know, chief of European art in, you know, 17th century, right, is one of the people on the phone for whatever. They probably have like PhDs in European art, and here they are going, yes, that would be $4,372,000 from my client, you know? And you're like, what? Yeah. Anyway,
there was
crazy.
A whole long conversation in our Slack channel yesterday as this was all going on. Like, how do you become the person on the phone? Like, how do you become Brooke or David? What is that job? Like, this is a marketplace story and it needs to be done. And how do you get paid to just like spend other people's money in the most dramatic way possible? Like, you put your hand out like, wait, we're talking about it.
Right. And there was one woman, we're doing this way too much. This is really tough on audio. I get it. So tune into one of those Sotheby's things. But there was like hand signal. There was a woman holding her hand flat, and then she went, and anyway, whatever.
Yeah.
Whatever.
It was so great. Dramatic. And the fact that it turned out to be the Citadel guy is almost the single best part of this whole story. And it just is like, it might be like a really depressing metaphor for how you really can't beat the man. Or not. I don't really know.
Well, look, there's a case to be made that's the ultimate kill the rich, right? I mean, come on.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, it was so close, right? But, like, didn't get there. The rich won in the end. The Citadel was not breached.
As they always do. Oh, nice.
I love a metaphor.
Oh, my God. All right. Super, super quick. Other news, because there is actual news, you know, there's the Rittenhouse verdict, which I don't necessarily want to get into. There's the passage of the BBB thing, which I also don't necessarily want to get into. I know. But I did see this in the Los Angeles Times, which will have larger and systemic effects. The University of California has said, you know what? We're not doing standardized tests anymore. They did a 3-year research project, seeing if they can come up with a better metric. They're not doing any standardized tests, SAT, ACT, all that jazz, which is huge because the University of California will trickle down into other schools around the country. And that's a big deal, right? Because we all know the structural problems with the standardized tests.
Admissions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's wild. It's a big deal. It's a very big deal. And that's
it is a huge deal. And it's interesting because parents have been talking about this because I think they nixed a lot of the standardized testing in advance of this year, right? Because of the pandemic.
Yeah.
And I was having brunch with some ladies who have, you know, like their kids are all applying right now. And they were just like, no one knows.
I'm up to my elbows in it. I'm telling you, it's huge. Yeah, it's crazy.
It is a really
and you
big
know
deal.
What? And
it's going
to – And I'll be up to
another
my
marketplace story.
Oh, yeah, totally. I'll be up to my elbows again in 3 years, and you will be, for the first time, up to your elbows in it. And it's insane. But that's all
I intend to call you and be like, help.
I will be here.
This sounds horrible.
Oh, my God, I'll be here. Oh, Jesus.
Kind of.
Sorry. That just came out.
It's meta all around. This is meta all around.
Bridget, let's just cut that out. Oh, God. Oh, God.
Nope. Oh, Bridget's God. Like, nope. Everything is happening. Ooh, everything boy. Is happening. Okay. In how is this legal questions, would like to know
what
the hell is up with Ford and Rivian. So we talked about Rivian last week because Rivian went public at a, whatever, $75 billion valuation despite selling, I believe, all of 150 vehicles or something, or 12, maybe. I don't know. Like
12, I think it's closer to single digits. You bet. Yeah.
They are, as someone at an event I was at last night called a $0 billion business, and they have a $75 billion valuation.
Today at the close, $109.7 billion. I'm looking at it in front of me. I don't just happen to know that. It's insane.
All right.
It's
so
nutty.
That all happened, right?
But anyway, go ahead.
Part of the reason that Rivian had such a shine on was that Rivian had a big deal with Ford.
Yes.
Ford and Rivian
had an existing arrangement,
an actual car company, which, you know, it has been pointed out, makes the Ford F-150, which is similar to what Rivian makes, and now they're making an electric Ford F-150, and that didn't make a lot of sense. Nevertheless, that's the kind of thing that makes investors feel like, oh, even though this company has only sold between 1 and 100 vehicles to its own employees, maybe they're going to be worth something in the future. And Ford's like, yeah, totally. And then everybody involved in this deal collected a bunch of money when Rivian went public at a massive valuation. And then now today, Ford is like, oh, yeah, no, we're not doing that deal.
We're out. Right.
They called off the deal. And I want to know how that's legal. Like, shouldn't there be some sort of agreement that's like, after a company goes public and you get a giant freaking check from their huge IPO, you can't just basically like call off the deal that is the only thing that makes them seem legit whatsoever?
I'm sorry, have you met capitalism?
I mean, dude, we really like do not have an SEC at all.
Oh, no.
Every time I meet capitalism, so I'm shocked at what an asshole he is, basically. It's like part of my language.
Oh, I mean, you're not wrong. You know, he's the ultimate bad date, right?
He's like, or he really is. I mean, you're just like, oh, he can't be that bad. And then you'd see him again at a party and you're like, what?
Oh, yeah, no.
A jerk. He really is that bad. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So this is a capitalism really is that bad story. Like, wow, you could just do whatever you want. Yeah. And then finally, like, oh, my God, that this is even occurring and could totally occur here and could occur in multiple states.
Not could, but will. Anyway, proceed.
Will. Good call. Totally will occur. Austria, which has a roughly 66% vaccination rate and has had no mandates to speak of, is entering lockdown. Locking down. Tourist travel will not be possible. They're telling tourists who are currently there to leave the country as soon as possible. Airline stocks tanked on this news. It is like an undoing of all of these months of what seemed to be progress. And the USA Today smartly makes the point that all of the vaccine mandates that the Biden administration has tried to implement here in the United States, some of which have been blocked by various judges, are 100% opposed by Republicans who say that this damages the economy. And I would just say lockdowns do.
Yeah.
Like, it's bananas.
The thing about this... The thing about this virus is that we've literally since January a year ago, right around the time we did that Tuesday pod in which you said, hey, there's this virus thing. I wonder if this could be bad. Literally from that time, we've been able to see it circle the globe and land here. And we saw it wave after wave after wave. And here's another one. You mentioned that Austria is 66% vaccinated. Do you know off the top of your head, because I actually happen to, because my wife tracks this really closely, do you know off the top of your head what the U.S. fully vaccinated rate is?
I mean, I would imagine it's pretty close to that, right?
60.
70, maybe?
So we are less vaccinated than Austria. Yeah.
Wow.
So the point being, we have seen this virus literally circle the globe and went up here every wave. And it's coming here. And I'm telling you, what the hell?
Oh, yeah. I mean, Europe has been a harbinger every single time.
Right.
Like happens in Europe happens here. We're headed into the holidays. People are getting on planes. They're going to travel. Mask wearing is apparently non-existent everywhere but Northern California. Who knew? Like, and daily COVID deaths are still over 1,000.
Yeah, that's the thing.
More than 1,000 people a day are still dying of COVID. Yeah. And I like, and we're still having this like massive civil war in favor of death. Like, it is just astonishing. Two sips, by the way. Two sips in on my bourbon. I got the like the flush. I'm a flusher. Just short, you know, unhinged short timer. Doesn't have to happen.
Timer. Drew.
Just absurd.
Drew.
Save us, save us. Let's play a game.
Thank you. Jeez.
Capitalism is your bad boyfriend. I mean, like, really, we're having that. I'm just reading comments. Okay, it's half full, half empty, the game where we give you our thoughts and feelings on topics that actually come from Drew, not just us. What do you got, buddy?
Half full or half empty on Jay Powell being renominated.
Ooh, I just want to know what he thinks.
It's 100% going to happen.
Yeah.
Not a doubt in my mind. You can take Joe Manchin and you can take blah, 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 whatever. It's going to happen for two reasons. Number one, it's way late in the cycle, for the president to nominate not an unknown person, but a person with whom many people in Congress will have a problem to that job, number one. Mm. Number two, playing off that, here's the deal. Lael Brainard, so fundamentally it's between, and this is economic policy as sport, and I apologize, right? But so here's the deal. It's between Jay Powell, the current chairman of the Fed, and Lael Brainard, a member of the Federal Reserve's Board of Governors. Here's the thing. They are both fundamentally the same in terms of monetary policy and interest rates and all of that thing. Jay Powell favors less regulation of banks. Lael Brainard favors more regulation of banks. But here's the political problem for the Biden White House. Jay Powell will get, give or take, 75 to 80 votes in the Senate. Lael Brainard will get zero Republicans, zero. And she will probably get 30 Democrats. And that's the calculation. So on Monday, Tuesday, maybe Wednesday, but my guess would be like Tuesday morning, it's going to be Jay Powell. And then Lael Brainard will be made the vice chair and perhaps the vice chair of financial supervision for the Federal Reserve. So that's what I think.
Yeah, I mean, I would be with Kai on this no matter what, but also it's an easy one because, yes, I agree. And why upset markets? Like, Joe Biden is in trouble right now, sort of polls-wise, whether it's fair or unfair. You know, I mean, I saw the, like, internet freaking out today about David Brooks being like, yeah, actually, he's kind of killing it, guys. Mm-hmm. But there is no scenario in which you sort of wander into a fire and pour gasoline on it by tanking markets by upsetting the Fed.
Right.
Yeah,
why
exactly.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
Half empty.
Anyway, next.
Yep.
All right. Half full or half empty on United Airlines deciding to serve hard liquor again.
Oh, no.
This is so interesting.
Not tomorrow, though, right?
So it was like 3 days ago. They started already.
Oh, God.
And here's the deal. And I say this as a guy whose oldest son now is literally on a plane at this moment coming back from Washington, D.C. I'm not sure what United Airlines is thinking. Because, look, beer, wine, and hard seltzer have been okay on United since June, and I get that. But hard liquor is a different beast. And with all the misbehavior and, frankly, violent – not misbehavior. That's ridiculous. Let's not euphemize. With all the violence and unacceptable behavior and just badness on behalf by airline passengers the past, you know, year and a half, whatever, why would you do that? I don't think United thought this all the way through. I'm so half empty on this one.
All the way empty. I'm actually astonished that they would do that. And I cannot imagine flight attendants are happy about that at all. It looks like the flight attendants union is like, are you kidding me right now? Yeah. No, that is a bad call.
Yep. Totally.
Ugh. I'm flying to the East Coast tomorrow and I'm really dreading it. I think it's going to be a disaster.
On United?
On United!
Oh,
And well, people don't care on airplanes. They get drunk at every single time of the day.
No, they don't. Right. Exactly. They don't.
I saw a guy order a Jack and Coke at 6 a.m. in the airport one time. Like, what?
So you know, oh, really? I try not to judge people who drink in airports because who knows what time their body clock is on. But yeah, it's going to end badly. Still.
Yep. So much empty.
Yep.
Great.
Okay. How about the return of MoviePass?
This is MoviePass, right? Yes. No. It is. Yes. Yes. Yes, and I forget the name of the parent company, but yeah. Look, anything's possible.
I mean, I
should have
bought that the first time.
World.
I'm definitely buying it this time.
So for those who don't know, MoviePass is the company that says, look, you pay us $10 a month and you can go see as many movies as you want forever. And of course, number one, what the hell kind of business model is that? Because you got the company had to pay the theater owners full fare. Excuse me, beer burp. And number two, pandemic. I don't know how it's coming back, but I'm told it is. I don't know.
I mean, post-pandemic, movie theaters should be paying MoviePass. Right. Like, it could actually be MoviePass is like, hey, friends, I notice no one wants to go to the movies, so maybe you should give us these tickets for $10. Or, like, it's possible. I mean, I have no idea if the economics work out better this time, but honestly...
Yeah,
I'm not that interested in going to the movies, but if I had MoviePass, I actually might. No. Like, theaters should be paying MoviePass this time. I'm half full.
That's a really good thought. That's a good business.
Let's go.
Half full or half empty.
And hard liquor, too. Why not? Sorry. Okay, go ahead.
Let's combine them. Half full or half empty on the fully vaccinated Times Square New Year's Eve.
Oh, like whether they should have it or not? Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's
so
the rule, right?
Show...
If you're going to go to, they're going to do it, and you have to be vaxxed. Yeah.
Great. I mean, you could still get it.
Of course. Yeah, you totally could. But look, is it fun to stand in what is either piss pouring rain at 41 degrees or freezing cold at 25 degree weather in New York City till midnight because you got to get there till at 4 o'clock in the afternoon? Hard pass.
I mean, I would rather die.
Yeah.
I'd rather chew my own leg off. I'd rather be like that guy who got his arm trapped and cut it off and to survive or whatever. Like all those things I would do before I personally would do that.
Right.
I mean, I think that I know it's hard to enforce. That's what the Discord is saying. It's outdoors. We got to have something. We got to have something.
Yeah. Look, I think if you want to go and you're vaxxed, go have a great time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Totally. Yeah.
Yeah.
And you know, sorry.
So I'm half full
mitigating
on that part
against
of it.
The whole. Yeah. But mitigating against the whole outdoors thing is that it's like 47,000 people per square meter in Times Square in New York. Right.
I mean, it should probably be like half the attendance, you know, and the vax thing.
Which, of course, it
would be. But honestly, like there have to be rewards for getting a vaccine. There just actually have to be because we have to have an off ramp of some sort. And if we're stuck at 61%, then the rewards for getting the vaccine have to be significant. They have to be real. It has to be like, look at all these people getting their life back because they got the vaccine. And so I guess I'm half full on it just as a psychological exercise. Like there's got to be something. There's got to be like a plan for when we can take masks off and a plan for when we can go to parties. And this feels like kind of a big one psychologically, even though, again, I'm going to reiterate, take my toe. Don't make me go.
I'm going to agree with everything you just said. There have to be rewards. I totally agree. 1,000%.
Thanks, man.
You bet.
All right.
Anytime.
Is that it?
Anytime. Okay, Make Me Smart listener and Marketplace General Manager Neil Scarborough wants to know.
The new guy!
If you're half full or half empty on the crypto.com arena.
The crypto.
We talked about this the other day. We were just like, oh God. I mean, you're in LA. You got to suffer this indignity in person.
Here's what I want to know. How does a company named crypto.com, who I don't know what they do, but they've got $700 million over 20 years to do this? Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know.
They got a really good URL is what they got. Crypto.com. Yeah, I can tell you, I'm up here in Northern California where I believe that the stadium in which the San Francisco Giants baseball team plays has been technically called AT&T Park for like 10 years, but everyone I know calls it Peck Bell. So like...
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Yep.
Put whatever name you want on it. No one's calling it that. That's embarrassing.
Totally.
Half empty on crypto.com stadium. God, we live in a weird timeline, don't we?
It's just dumb.
So weird.
It's so weird. It's so weird.
Yep, crypto's going to win.
I have a bonus sixth topic for Thanksgiving.
Oh, Jesus.
Yay!
For real? Reese's.
Let's just stay here all day.
Reese's is releasing its largest peanut butter cup ever, the Thanksgiving pie.
Oh, I saw that.
I saw that. Totally getting that.
I saw that. It's a pie, but it's like 1,000 calories per slice. Yeah, it's nutty.
I'm just serving that for dessert at my Thanksgiving. Like, I'm not making a pumpkin pie. Like, I'm not making any, I don't care about dessert at all. I'm about fancy sides, and I'm buying that pie. That is amazing. Half full.
Amen. Amen.
Oh, yay. The Discord's totally with us. They're like, full.
Yeah.
I didn't get it yet, Ryan.
YouTube is mixed.
But I'm gonna. It's sold out.
Yeah, you'll be able to get more. Shut up. Come on.
That's okay. My Thanksgiving's going to be late, so I'm hoping that I'm going to scoop up all the stuff that people didn't buy. Mm-hmm. They'll have restocked by then.
Yeah.
How delightful. That is it for us today, at least. Thanks for listening. An update for you about next week. I'm like stinky fish around here. I will be out next week. I'll be working remotely. Kai and Kimberly will be hosting on Monday and Tuesday. And the crew here is going to take an actual Thanksgiving break for the rest of the week. So Monday and Tuesday, you have a show with Kimberly and Kai. Then you have 3 days of no shows. Then you have 3 days of shows with me. That's fine. We can do whatever we want.
It is fine. It is fine.
It's going to be great. It's going to be great.
Yeah. You can always send us your comments, your questions. Your Make Me Sauce. Blah, 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 blah. Oh, God. Sorry. Your Make Me Smile
make me
suggestions, 508-827-6278, 508-UBSMART. Send us an email. MakeMeSmart@marketplace.org is where you can get us.
We should have rebranded the show a long time ago to Make Me Sauced. Missed opportunity. Today's episode of Make Me Smart was produced by the wonderful Marissa Cabrera, engineered by the brilliant Drew Jostad. The senior producer is the lovely, talented, and unintentionally hilarious Bridget Potter.
The team behind our YouTube live stream today and our game Half Full, Half Empty is Mel Rosenberg and Emily McCune. The theme music for Half Full, Half Empty was written by one Drew Jostad. The director of On Demand, got rid of that interim BS, is Donna Tam.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.